The United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit is now open and in session. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning. We have four cases set for argument this morning. The first one is going to be the Plus D panel, which I'm sure that everyone has been informed on as to the procedure. I'm going to call the first case for this morning. That's Net Fuel, Inc. versus Hirschfield, number 21-1520. Mr. Iturralde, I understand you have reserved 3 minutes of rebuttal. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
All right, you may proceed. We're ready to go.
This is Enrique Iturralde for Appellant Net Fuel. In the decision below, the Board assembled the patchwork of petitioner's contention and arrived at conclusory determinations without a properly articulated analysis and without the required findings of fact. Of the arguments presented on briefing, I would like to focus on the limitation monitoring operational parameters relating to the each thread, including a per-thread utilization for each thread. The term thread does not appear in any way, shape, or form in the Linscog references. Rather, the Board repeated petitioner's arguments mapping Linscog's network resources to the claimed thread. Respectfully, this Court should not endorse such an interpretation as it is not based in fact, and frankly, it is offensive to the computer arts. Additionally, the mapping of Linscog's network resource to the claimed thread is inconsistent with the Board's adoption of the construction of a thread, which was construed to mean...
Counsel, this is Judge Rado, but when you combine Turek's multi-threaded system and you combine that with Linscog's hierarchical node structure, then the claim limitation that you're speaking about is satisfied, correct?
Respectfully, Your Honor, we would disagree with that. And the reason for that is based in part on the Board's adoption of the construction. And so the construction or the term thread itself was the execution of a section of code independently within a software program. Rather than describe an execution of a section of code, Linscog merely refers to a network resource. And this network resource is a logical resource or physical device. Logical resources are location areas or zones for network devices. Examples of physical devices are computers, routers, and servers. For example, in a network system, as you described, Your Honor, an anomaly can take place at a particular network router or server, or it can take place at a location area designated with some logical name for that network. In both examples, the resources are physical, not software.
Mr. Iturralde, this is Judge Chen speaking. As I understand it, the Board saw that this particular reference, Linscog, was talking about logical resources, you know, and found that that was something different than hardware, because I believe it said something about logical resources and or hardware devices. And then it also, Linscog also talks about checking for hardware faults or software faults. So therefore, the Board concluded that Linscog reasonably read is talking about looking at resources that are software for software-based faults. So if we were to assume that is all a reasonable reading, then there's still the next question of making the leap from monitoring software network resources to monitoring threads. And my understanding is you take issue with that, and I would like you to speak to that question.
Yes, Your Honor, and that is correct. That is our position, and you know we would contend that simply monitoring resources is not enough to satisfy monitoring operational parameters that include per-thread utilization. The board relied on a layering of implications to get from physical devices to the software and then to the threads, and that's not sufficient evidence. When you're looking at the Linscog reference, there's no disclosure of threads at all. When you turn to the Turek reference, there is a disclosure of threads in the context of Java generally. And so
is software as a general matter made up of threads?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. And there is a, there needs to be, threading has to be part of the architecture, has to be part of the design. And so merely reciting software or some applet or a software agent doesn't necessarily mean that the software is designed in a threaded manner and is handled in a threaded manner.
I understand that, but my understanding of the board's decision is accepting that Linscog is monitoring software resources and that software can be made up of threads, why wouldn't it be reasonable to conclude that that Linscog, among other things, is monitoring software threads? Is there something about the context of what's going on in Linscog that makes it unreasonable to make that jump to conclude that Linscog is monitoring software threads?
Well, there's simply no disclosure of monitoring threads or of monitoring portions of software. There's just generally the disclosure of an agent that looks at software or looks at logical resources, which themselves are not software. And so there's no underlying infrastructure or no underlying infrastructure to perform both monitoring of threads, but also the further limitations such as the performing a corrective action for threads for the detected abnormalities and additional subsequent limitations.
I guess what I'm wondering is, because Linscog is monitoring faults at a network-wide level, why would Linscog care about the status of individual threads and individual network resources inside individual nodes?
I don't think that Linscog would care. I don't think that's a problem that Linscog was addressing. Because Linscog doesn't mention threads at all, it's just not even a problem that they were addressing. That's a sort of a granular level of monitoring software where it's a different invention. It's not it wasn't envisioned during the writing or drafting of Linscog reference.
Can you explain what per-thread utilization means?
Sure.
Did the board understand it correctly at A68?
Sorry, Your Honor, did you say 868?
That's right. Do you see where I am?
I'm trying to navigate there right now, 868.
Good. Just so you're clear, this is appendix page 68, not the numeral 8.
I thought you said 868 in the
no. Appendix page 68, the board's opinion.
Yes. Okay. Right. So per thread utilization would be monitoring the usage of threads, and there's a disclosure within the 659 patent, and I will direct your honors to that in a minute.
Can you just focus for me a second on JA68, where the board is reporting out what the patent owner argued during the board hearing, that thread utilization is a fairly established concept, particularly when it comes to something like CPU utilization in the thread, how much of a CPU's time is being utilized by a thread, or how much of the physical resource is being utilized by that thread?
Yes, Your Honor, I see that. And yes, that's a fair characterization of what we
claim limitation.
What we understand per thread utilization to mean.
Okay. So why is that missing from the references?
So the per thread utilization, as I mentioned earlier, there are the closest that the board actually gets to explaining the per thread utilization is based on an implication. If you look at Appendix 45, the board states, quote, in the context, Linscott's use of the generic term fault in conjunction with receiving alarm data and processing the data and other similar teachings discloses monitoring and determining hardware and software faults on a per-thread basis. In the context of Linscott, receiving alarm data from one or more monitored resources implies running software threads. Linscott itself, as I mentioned, does not disclose threads and not disclose portions of threads or portions of software that is monitoring and then taking corrective action on. Instead, Linscott is generally referring to what it calls faults.
Counselor, you're into your rebuttal time. Do you want to take a pause now, or do you want to go on?
I will just, if you don't mind, Your Honor, I'll just state one last thing. And so So it's undisputed that per-thread utilization is one of the monitored operational parameters, which is later subject to the detecting abnormality limitations and performing corrective actions limitations of claimed inventions. The PTO failed to make any findings of fact with respect to per-thread utilization for these later limitations. And now, Your Honor, I'll reserve my time for a rebuttal. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Craven?
Yes, good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Netfuel fails to show reversible error in the Board's obviousness decision. The claims here recite a broad method of monitoring and correcting faults in software resources in a distributed computer network. And the Board found that the prior art taught all the limitations of the claim, as well as that a person of skill in the art would have been motivated to combine the references. And substantial evidence supports each of these findings. Starting where Netfuel does with the limitation, monitoring operational parameters related to each thread, and then more specifically, monitoring per-thread utilization, the board found that Linscott, or alternatively, Linscott in combination with Turek, discloses this limitation. And Netfuel is arguing that Linscott's system doesn't monitor software, just hardware, but that argument ignores the board's findings regarding monitoring logical resources and detecting software faults.
So I guess this is where I'm having some concerns. This is Judge Chen. Even if we were to accept the finding that the resources that are being monitored in Linscog in all these different nodes across the network can be software resources, why is it fair to say that Linscog is contemplating looking at this more granular level of individual threads within each software program?
Your Honor, Linscog discloses, as the board found, that the monitoring of network resources happens at multiple levels. So the example it gives of hardware is not only does it monitor the entire base station, but a single circuit of a base station. And so for software at the more granular level, the board found that that would be monitoring software threads. And the board also found that the monitoring would be threads that are running independently, so software code that runs independently of the larger software program, because the system can resolve faults at one network resource, one selected network resource versus other network resources, and that would show that the threads are running independently. And so that's the reasoning for why not only are you monitoring software resources at a broader level, but at the more granular level that you would be monitoring threads.
This is Judge Toronto. So that there's one further level in that claim, which is that the monitoring specifically is monitoring per thread utilization, which I understand to be how much of certain kinds of or any kind of computer resources an individual running of an individual independently runnable set of instructions is consuming. Where is that in either Linscog or the combination with the other reference?
So the board starts with the fact that the 659 patent is disclosing the monitoring per thread utilization by its disclosure of the R monitoring the software threads within its running within that R as load balancing, so balancing the threads on that particular runtime and the idea of load balancing. And then the board relies on Linscog's disclosure of load balancing as then being the disclosure of per thread utilization. And so let me see if I can get some more per thread.
And if you can point to initially the pages of the board decision, that would be helpful. And then, of course, whatever those pages are referring to in Linscog and TURF.
Right. So I think starting at JA68 is, I mean, there's a lot of discussion. At 66, the board discusses the disclosure of load balancing in 66 in the patent, and then goes on at JA68, the idea that Linscog is disclosing monitoring these high traffic levels from network resources. So you have your network resources that are providing traffic levels, and that traffic level is actually the performance data that the agents are monitoring. But that traffic level is coming from each level of the network resources, so it's protecting various network resources from overload caused by this too high traffic level being offered. And the idea that is then the monitoring of the per-thread utilization when you're monitoring that network resource down at the level of a thread. And so after the full complete paragraph on JA68, the last sentence is that the petitioner showing applies this well-known thread utilization techniques to the well-known threaded resources for the purpose of correcting these utilization-related faults like overload. So Linscog's disclosure of this overload protection, if you're monitoring the network traffic from the resources at the level of threads, at that lower level, that this is per-thread utilization. And we could go to the Linscog specific.
Ms. Craven, just so I understand, your and the board's theory of what you would get when you do the combination of the references, you wouldn't necessarily, you'd be doing something extra and beyond what the references are doing, because as I understand what the references are doing is maybe they're looking at traffic data across the entire network. And here, as I understand it, you're saying, well, in the combination of the references, not only would you still be doing that, but you would be doing this other thing, which is looking into the individual threads that make up a particular software resource and making determinations and calculations of how much the individual threads in a program are consuming a CPU resource. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. The monitoring in Linscog of network resources occurs at multiple levels. So not only would you be monitoring a broader network resource, a base station or a larger resource, but you would also be monitoring at a lower level, the single circuit level, which in software would be the single thread level, and that protection of overload at that level of the system monitoring would be monitoring the utilization of those threads in the software to perform the load balancing in the same way that you're getting that disclosure in the 659 patent. And that relies on Linscog's disclosure of the getting the raw traffic from each network resource at the different levels. And the board also relies on Turek's disclosure of monitoring network usage monitoring and that usage at the lowest level, at the circuit or thread level, would be per-thread utilization, which NetFuel has conceded is a well-known concept in the art for how you understand threads to be used in the system and their load balancing to be monitored in the system.
Can you this is Judge Toronto, just to check you. I think you said a couple of times that Linscog talks about monitoring hardware at different levels down to the, the circuit level, and by analogy, moving down in levels on the software side, which Linscog also talks about, would be to go to the thread level. Is that your analogy, or does the board itself say that on the software side as opposed to the hardware side, monitoring in Linscog goes down to the level of the independently operable instruction set?
So I think the best site for that, this is JA 58, and the paragraph, the only full paragraph on that page is the board responding to NetFuel's argument that there isn't monitoring at the thread level because the resources are monitored as a whole, and talking about the monitoring of a base station then as the monitoring of a resource as a whole. And the second, I think it's the second sentence says, contrary to this testimony that Linscog only determines that the base station as a whole is malfunctioning, then Linscog discloses monitoring at much smaller, these smaller individual levels, including single circuit, and then goes on to talk about how the testimony regarding abnormalities also then doesn't account for petitioner's persuasive showing that the Linscog and Turek together show the obviousness of running Linscog's resources as threads. And so I see that connection as you're monitoring at the single circuit level in a base station, and so when you're monitoring the software, you're monitoring it at the level of a thread.
Just so I understand, the board's theory is not that through the combination you would be checking individual threads at different nodes. It's checking the threads of a single program that's located at a single node. Is that right? because the concern I had was the board was saying, well, you're checking different resources at different nodes, and so you can just check thread 1 at node 1 and check thread 1 at node 2, and that would be satisfying the claim, but those two threads would not be within the same program, nor would they be using the same computer resources.
Right. I think because the nodes are monitoring multiple resources, that not just a single resource, that you would understand that as monitoring threads at a single node. So on the larger level, the entire software program may be the network resource, but it comprises threads. And at the lower circuit, more granular level, at the smaller unit level, that you'd be monitoring threads as multiple network resources at a single node. And because you have multiple threads running there, that you would be able to do the load balancing because you have to compare the threads' use on the CPU to each other to do per thread. Monitoring per thread utilization.
But at the same time, if a particular software program is located at a node and that software program is the resource that's being monitored and it's made up of multiple threads, you could map onto the claim by monitoring those particular threads, the parameters of those particular threads within that given software program resource, right?
Correct. Yes. I would agree with that.
I'm trying to figure out what's the cleanest mapping onto the claim.
In terms of?
Rather than, I heard you say, well, you know, there can be multiple resources at a single node, and so you can just look at any threads that are located at that node, even if those different threads are across different software programs. And then that wouldn't make sense when it comes to per thread utilization, because as I understand per thread utilization, you're trying to measure out the relative load of individual threads within a particular program that are operating independently.
Right, and I don't think the threads that you're monitoring have to be in different software programs. The software program, the broader software program, could be executing multiple threads of code independently within that program, and each of those threads within the same software program being monitored would be the monitoring the per-thread utilization. I don't think it has to be threads in different software programs. Does that make sense?
I understand your answer, yeah.
Okay. And therefore, the board's finding of monitoring per thread and per thread utilization is supported by substantial evidence. And unless there's any other questions, ask this court to affirm the board's obviousness decision.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions? Hearing none, let's go on back to Mr. Kutuadle. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. So the fundamental issue here is that there is no clear mapping from the board. The most granular level of resources that the board and the PTO identify is the monitoring circuits for high traffic levels. That is completely inconsistent with the board's adoption of the construction of a thread to mean the execution of a section of code independently within a software program. We agree with Judge that the PTAP...
Counselor, in listening to my colleague's questioning, The notion of substantial evidence came up again. Can you tell me, reflecting back to the conversations that my colleagues had with counsel, you know, where is it that the board lacks substantial evidence in its decision?
Yes, Your Honor. The board lacks substantial evidence in finding per thread utilization in either of the references, in combination or separately. There's just simply no, neither reference looks into software, neither reference monitors threads of software. Just generally at a high level, reciting that the reference contains an agent and implying that there can be some threads is not substantial evidence. And so we would submit that the PTAB is.
How about if they found there could be some threads, not implying as you say, but they made a finding that there were such threads. Is that substantial evidence?
That would not be a finding based on substantial evidence. Respectfully, Your Honor, that would not be a finding based on substantial evidence. According to what we've reviewed in the board's analysis, which is mostly a regurgitation of the petitioner's arguments and not an actual analysis of the references themselves, that the finding itself would not be based on substantial evidence.
Okay.
And so with that, we agree with Judge Chen's comment that it appears that the board and the PTO are adding or relying on something that is not actually recited in the references. The board appears to be relying on an implication or a set of implications as to what may be in software, but threads are just simply not recited in either of the references. And so we submit that there's no substantial evidence to support the board's final written decision, and we respectfully rest on the papers unless Your Honors have any further questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks to counsel for this argument. This court will now take a short recess.